like to introduce our first presenter, Irina Haller. She's representing the group here, Diane Kruger and Neil Pinkley. And Irina is from the Essentia Institute of Rural Health. That is a part of a healthcare system, health plan. And she's collaborating with people from the University of Wisconsin. And her paper is called Response to Vitamin D Fortified Food in Rural White and American Indian Women.
Thank you, Jen, for the introduction. And I'd like to also thank the Aging and Public Health section for giving the opportunity to present results from our proof of concept study on fortifying food with vitamin D in the amounts larger than currently used. Hoping that I'm flushing this slide. No, any relationship to disclose. Over the past few years, probably 10 or 15 or so, the issue of vitamin D has been quite hot topic. And especially within the recent recommendations that came both from the Institute of Medicine and the a little war going on between the Institute of Medicine and the Endocrine Society. What we know about vitamin D, so that is a fairly common, the inadequacy of vitamin D is fairly common due to many different factors, and it's especially important for those who live above the 42nd parallel, whether that north or south, because only for about 6 months a year we could produce vitamin D in our skin. In a natural way, so to speak, but other factors such as cultural ways or indoor lifestyle. And generally, sun avoidance might actually impair that natural production as well. And it is pretty clear that either supplementation or fortification of food on much larger base would be one of the ways to deal with the vitamin D inadequacy. We know very well the relationship of vitamin D status with skeletal issues. There are more and more reports coming out with the relationship of vitamin D inadequacy and other diseases, chronic diseases. And I would list some of them, although we have very, very little data to support those claims quite yet. So research is very needed. Generally, we know that the compliance with medications and supplementations in population is fairly poor. So one, and very, very few foods naturally contain vitamin D. So one of the ways would be, of course, to see if fortification of food would be the way to deal with the widespread vitamin D inadequacy. But not very much research has been done. So I'd like to present the results of our continuous effort to look at both the documentation of vitamin D status in rural populations and evaluating the approaches of improving that status through various ways. We had, this is the food fortification study. The community very lovingly called it the cookie study because the food that is being fortified in the study was low-calorie chocolate cookie. Who doesn't like a cookie every day, right? So we had about 2,500 international units in the active side of the study. We looked both at the effect of age and ethnicity. I will only present today the results from the study where two rural communities, white women and American Indian women, participated in this study, and I have listed our funders. So very briefly, this would be the scheme of our study. Two communities were involved, collaboration with two clinics, one in the tribal community and another in the rural community, was enrolling only Caucasian women. We did evaluation of the screening for various chemistry panels and particularly vitamin D status. Those people who had values of 25-hydroxy D, which is serum values, which is our current way to evaluate vitamin D status. Women with values below 10 and above 60 were excluded from the study just because we didn't think it was ethical to randomize someone to non-vitamin D product with such low values when the bone metabolism is completely impaired. The women within each of the communities were randomized either to receive a cookie with 2,500 international units of vitamin D3 or an identically looking placebo cookie. And they were asked to take one cookie a day for about 4 months, and we had evaluations at baseline, 1 month, 2 months, and 4 months. And we evaluated serum 24-hydroxy-D, markers of bone turnover, also PTH and spot urine calcium, as well as serum urine calcium to evaluate safety of the supplementation or fortification. And I forgot to mention that these were the postmenopausal women in both communities. I won't spend a lot of time here on the inclusion and exclusion criteria, other than we did ask women had to be generally healthy. We asked them not to take supplements higher than 400 international units per day, and we asked them to use sunscreen when they were spending 15 or more minutes outside. Other exclusion criteria just related to general health and exclusion diseases that are known to impair vitamin D metabolism. I have mentioned what measurements we are doing. In addition, we also evaluated bone mass index. Very quickly on statistical analysis, general linear modeling adjusted for age baseline values of vitamin D. And also the strata were included in the analysis. These are our participants. As I said, this was the proof of concept study. So the there was fairly small fairly small group included in the study. We screened 42 white and 34 American Indian women. Exclusions are listed there, and you see how many individuals were randomized. Very few people withdrew from the study, and the major reason for withdrawal was either not showing up for the last appointment or not willing to comply with the conditions of the study. This is the screening data of vitamin D status in both white and American Indian women. You can see that a very large groups in both cohorts had a low vitamin D status, which is here identified as 30 nanograms per milliliter. I will not go very detailed through this table. Putting is there because all of this is going to be available online if someone wants to go and look at this more carefully. Baseline differences between the two cohorts were noted for age and bone BMI. And I need to speed up very quickly here. This is the end of study characteristics, not adjusted for those parameters that I mentioned in the model. That's just to look carefully later on. And the response, a couple of things I want to mention was a great compliance to the study preparation. More than 90% of women in all groups had taken their preparation. And after adjustment, the concentrations were quite better on average, above the 39 grams per milliliters. And those values in the D groups increased about 17 nanogram per milliliter in response to the supplementation compared to the much lower values in the non-D groups. We did not, in this small trial, we did not notice any ethnicity effect on the response, on the serum 25-hydroxy increase. And even though we have given such a high levels of vitamin D at 4 months, we still had about 7% of women in the D group who still were below 30 nanograms per milliliter. This is the adjusted values from the model stratified for white and American Indian women. The darker colors would show the response of 25-hydroxy-D in the D group, and the lighter values, lighter line with response to the placebo. You can see that in the American Indian group, the placebo at the end jumped up, and that's the result of the contamination of the sun exposure, that not everyone was using the sunscreen as directed. The important conclusion here was also that over such a period of time of the study of 4 months and with the higher values of the fortification in the preparation, we still did not see any aberrations in the calcium response, both in the serum or urine, so that was a good sign. Of course, this does not tell us anything about much longer term of such higher values. We did not see any significant correlation between the PTH and 25-hydroxy-D, neither at baseline nor 4 months. Again, that could be due to the fact that the groups were so small. And we did not see a significant effect of vitamin D supplementation on the markers of bone turnover, again, to the effect of smaller group maybe or a short period of time of fortification. Some conclusions. Low vitamin D status was common among the two rural populations that we evaluated. And the prevalence of low vitamin D was much higher in the American Indian group. That is very consistent with our previous evaluations in these populations. Food fortification for 4 months was safe and a fairly attractive option. Really, there were a lot of comments from women about the fact that they really enjoyed the cookie rather than the pill. This was a very small study, so we did not see any differences by race. And the, despite of high compliance to the supplementation or to taking the fortified food, we still had 7% of women at the end who received such high doses of vitamin D who were below 30 nanograms per milliliter. I do must say here that IOM report says that for bone health, the cut point really should be 20. Nanograms per milliliter, and everyone was above that level. But we don't know about the what is the right level for any other condition, so that research still needs to be done. And I will, am I done with the time? Okay, and I will stop at there. Thank you so much. Thank you.